first for breaking news and the best live sport. This is BBC Five Live.
Hello there, 10 o'clock Saturday night. I'm Stephen Nolan.
Across the UK.
This is BBC Radio Five Live.
With Stephen Nolan.
Well, thousands of doctors have been protesting today across the country over the government's planned changes to their contracts. The BMA says the plans will lead to a big drop in junior doctor salaries. The government says the current overtime system is too expensive and makes the goal of a seven-day NHS impossible. The BMA says that could mean up to a 30% pay cut for some junior doctors. The BBC reporter Frankie McCamley was at Parliament Square earlier today.
Thousands of people are here of all ages. There's a real family atmosphere. Lots of children come along with their parents, lots of babies. You can see people waving placards, carrying balloons, really coming to show their support. It's not just junior doctors here. It's also trainee nurses, consultants, GPs all coming together.
The Health Secretary, Jeremy Hunt, has accused the BMA of misleading doctors and says the proposals would reduce their maximum weekly working hours.
It's so disappointing that the BMA has chosen to deliberately misrepresent what the government is trying to do. This is a good deal for doctors. We are reducing the maximum hours a doctor can be asked to work from 91 to 72 hours. We're stopping doctors being asked to work for 5 nights in a row.
Mr. Hunt also says extra staffing at the weekends is key to reducing deaths in NHS hospitals.
We don't want to cut the pay going to junior doctors. We do want to change the pay structures that force hospitals to roster 3 times less medical cover at weekends as they do in weeks. And that means that there's a 15% greater chance of you dying if you're admitted on a Sunday compared to being admitted on a Wednesday. And if you believe in the NHS and you want it to be the best in the world, then you want to be able to promise every single NHS patient that you will get the same high standard of care if you're admitted at the weekend as if you're admitted in the week.
So you can let us know what you think tonight. Are the doctors already overworked in trying to protect the NHS, or are they overpaid and blocking reform? 0500 909 693. Philip Blond, first, the director of the think tank Respublica. Hello, Philip.
Hi, good evening
to you. What are your thoughts around this?
Well, my thoughts are really, I do think that junior doctors are being misled. I think if you look at what the government's arguing, it's very clear and it's given an absolute guarantee that there will be no overall reduction in pay. What I think is basically going on is at the moment, the situation raises pay so extremely at the weekends that, as the Health Secretary mentioned, hospitals tend to roster 3 times as many staff on a weekday than the weekends. What the government is trying to do is spread the pay out and actually increase basic pay during the normal working week, but stop the perverse incentives in the system that essentially mean when we have more need of doctors, they become 3 times as expensive. And I think that's right and proper. And I think that the system that we have desperately needs reform. And part of the reform is actually changing staffing structures. At the moment, for instance, in the health service, you do have a situation where doctors who don't progress, who take longer to achieve their exams and their targets, can be paid more because of time served than doctors who do. And I think the government is rightly trying to reward those who progress and who meet the standards. So I think trying to, you know, assuming that this is a cut is, I think, demonstrably wrong. And I think in principle, the idea that we need to change staffing structures is clearly right. But the main point is look, our health service is desperately misdesigned for the problems that we face. Back in 1908, when the old age pension was first introduced, there was just 1% of the population lived to 100. For people born now, 3/4 of them will live to 100. Our system is being overwhelmed by old people, by people who shouldn't be in hospital. About 30% of people in hospital shouldn't be in hospital. We've got to redesign the whole system. And what I find depressing about the current dispute is it's about symptoms rather than causes.
Well, Dr. Ben Post is listening to this, an anaesthetist. Hello to you, Ben.
Hi there, Kate.
Well, Philip has spelt it out there. Why on earth, when we need doctors at the weekend, should they be three times more expensive?
I mean, from my experience, I've been working as a doctor for 6 years. The on-call cover on the weekend is exactly the same on a weekday. And for any emergency that you need at any time of the day in the NHS, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you will be seen. I think what there is a big confusion here between the junior doctor's contracts and the seven-day NHS, which seems to be this unnecessary overlap. We, at the moment, are concerned about the staffing levels on the wards on a daily basis, really, because of the amount of funding provided to us. And we are that's with regards to a seven-day-a-week emergency service with a five-day-a-week elective service, non-emergency service. So what the government is currently proposing is that we keep the amount of funding exactly the same, but add two extra days onto that. So in summary, what that's going to mean is that we are going to be paid the exact same amount to extend ourselves for an extra 2 days.
What do you think is going to happen as a result?
As a result, with regards to the staffing levels,
yeah,
it will be spread more thinly. The emergency services, as always, will be preserved because that's what we always have done in the NHS. And then what will happen is the elective services will get diluted during the week, and there'll be fewer doctors around during the week. And what we actually need is because if you've listened to the BMA, they are for all of us are for that. We love the idea of a 7 day NHS. We think it's fantastic, but it needs to be funded. We need a lot of money to make that happen, but we'd be very willing to make that happen.
Philip?
Yeah, I think this is factually wrong on a number of points. We know, for instance, that consultant cover at the weekends is not the same as consultant cover during the week. We know that's a clear factor in the much higher death rate that we have at the weekend. Some 11,000 people over the course of the year die unnecessarily because of that. And where I think the government is right is trying to ensure that junior doctors are supported. I also think, and it's good to hear that doctors are in favour of a seven-day NHS, but I repeat the point, which is true, is that because of the way the pay structures work, it's actually far more expensive for hospitals to roster on the weekends than during the weekday. What's being attempted is to remove the perverse incentives in the system that conspire against the seven-day NHS. There is no cuts going on. There is no reductions going on. Actually, the reduction that is going on is a reduction in working hours. So doctors, for the first time, will have a guarantee against five-day working. But let's speak to the real issues. The real issue is, I think, that our system needs radical redesign. What I think the danger is that the junior doctors and the consultants have been caught in defending a system that no longer serves the people. Now, I'm for the junior doctors. I actually think they need to be paid a lot more money, and I'm conscious that actually...
Well, their average salary is 37 grand a year.
I don't think that's enough for many junior doctors who face extremely long, extremely high levels of debt, and I think they're under-rewarded at the beginning of their career and over-awarded at the end. But the real thing I think doctors should be doing is actually having a different sort of debate rather than harking back to defending the indefensible. And the debate we need to have in this country is the following. On average, European countries pay around 12% of their GDP into the health service. In the UK, it's 9%. We need to have the doctors need to create a much better debate about the type of health service we need. And unfortunately, debates like this based on misinformation, and Jeremy Hunt, to give him credit, has been a great defender of the NHS. He's actually, he ring-fenced it from the austerity cuts. He produced an extra $8 billion during the election campaign. I don't think he's trying to harm. He's trying to protect. But what we need the doctors to be is to think far more radically about what actually the NHS needs. And
Dr. Julian O'Morod is listening to this, cardiology registrar. Hello, Julian.
Hello, Jim.
You were at the demonstration in London today, and you've heard Philip Blond set out the case for you're defending the indefensible.
Philip Blond's right in that the NHS is underfunded to the tune of approximately 3% of GDP, but I think he makes some points which certainly aren't right. The weekend safety paper, the Keogh paper, Specifically, in the conclusions of that paper, says that the interpretation that's being put on it is not correct. So the actual evidence that you're quoting is against your point. We weren't out on the street protesting particularly about pay. I mean, obviously, it's difficult to take a 30% pay cut. You know, people have children to look after and mortgages and things.
And well, the placards were about pay, weren't they?
No, I think that most of the placards that I saw were actually about safety. So we think that thrashing the existing workforce harder is actually going to decrease patient safety rather than the opposite. So
But this isn't true. That what's being offered is actually less working hours. The idea that it's more working hours is factually incorrect. That's what's being suggested.
Actually, that is what they're saying. We haven't actually seen the details of the contract that they're going to impose on us.
That's because they walked away from the negotiation.
But it wasn't a negotiation, because actually, if you come to the table with a load of preconditions and that are not negotiable, then that's not a negotiation. They wanted to go for the fine points, but they weren't willing to negotiate the things that we think are really going to affect patient safety.
Here's what I'm hearing. The government is saying it's willing to negotiate. You're saying you're willing to negotiate, which is great.
Now, we're saying we won't come back to the table with two hands tied behind our back.
Well, I don't think anyone's asking you to do that. What I'm worried about here is there seems to be genuine misinformation. It's clear, and the government has given an absolute guarantee, that this is not about cutting pay. The average amount of pay will remain the same. What the government is trying to do is remove various perverse incentives to ensure a safer NHS in the pay bill. Now, in principle, I think we could probably all agree with that. Or are you arguing that actually it is a pay cut, which the government is saying very clearly and demonstrably it isn't?
So, as I said, I'm not talking about pay, I'm talking about safety.
So why did you quote the line about 30% reduction in pay then?
So, because everyone else had mentioned pay so far, but what I want to talk about is safety. And actually, the perverse incentives, as you say, there are financial disincentives and there are legal requirements to monitor hours, especially out-of-hours working. Mm-hmm. Now, out-of-hours working is more intense. I've been on nights all week. I can attest to that fact. It is very intense. And there are disincentives to making doctors do that too often, because then we're tired. If I turn up to work and I'm tired and I'm not sharp and on it, then people can get harmed. People can get seriously harmed and people can die.
Well, I agree with you on that. Of course I do.
Let me bring in Dan in Berkshire. Hello, Dan.
Hello there.
Hello. Are you a junior doctor?
I am, yes. I'm an A&E registrar.
So what are your thoughts tonight, Dan?
Well, this assertion that there are massive financial penalties for us working at weekends at the moment is simply not true. Most junior doctors do work weekends. If I was to work every single weekend instead of the one in three that I work at the moment, the government would not have to pay one penny extra. It's all included in the pay package that I'm on at the moment. The vast majority of junior doctors are on pay banding. That would mean a maximum of 10% increase if they work in acute specialties for them to work every single weekend. The point is that we won't work every single weekend because we still have families and things, but it's not going to cost the government much more to bring in far more junior doctors at weekends.
So what do you reckon you stand to lose under this new contract?
Well, the way that they want to calculate our pay in the future is that they'd give everyone a 15% increase on their basic pay. That means that doctors who do work 9 to 5 at the moment, which is not very many, but some do, they would get a pay rise. The government doesn't want to increase the pay bill in total, so some doctors will have a pay cut, and they've not denied that. We just don't know who it's going to be yet. The soundings that the government are making mean that A&E doctors are probably going to get a premium to make sure that we don't get a pay cut, because we already struggle to recruit into our specialty. But the DDRB's report, which I don't believe many of the people commenting, certainly from the think tanks, have read, makes it quite clear that's only going to last for a year. And if suddenly we can recruit into A&E again, then we could lose that premium. Other specialties, such as anaesthetics, they don't struggle to recruit, and they are at risk of a pay cut. The total pay bill isn't going to go down, but individual doctors' pay may, and the government hasn't denied that.
I think Philip Blonde from the think tank Respublic is wanting to speak to you, Dan. Go ahead, Philip.
What's clear is some doctors' pay may reduce, but other doctors' pay will rise. The government has said very clearly that the premiums will be maintained. So I think we're in a different... We should really have a different sort of debate. Before this dispute erupted, just hear me out, before this dispute erupted, everybody, including the junior doctors, agreed that there needed to be a new contract because the present contract had all sorts of perverse incentives in it that conspired against better care and patient safety. And on that, all the bodies were agreed. What has happened since is, I think, a whole set of agendas that appear to me to be misinformed. And I don't think there are the cuts that people are arguing for. What is being attempted is what has previously been agreed, which is rewriting the staff rules around the new needs around patient safety. And I repeat, we know very clearly from the scandals and the deaths in the past, in the health service, that part of the issue is not the only part, because at the weekends, non-elective surgery is inherently more dangerous than elective, but part of it is there is, especially at the consultant level, a lack of cover. So all the government...
Not at the junior doctor.
That's not true. That's not true at all.
Not the junior
doctor. That's not true.
Sorry, hold on, Philip. Let's let the doctors come in. Go ahead.
Me personally, I work on intensive care and I work in anesthesia. At any time of day, I have very easy access to a consultant. On weekends, the consultants are there almost exclusively for 12 hours a day at the minimum. They're there all the time. I don't understand where this information is coming from. I don't. Maybe other people have different experiences than me, but I am able to call a consultant at all times of day, and they're generally right next to me.
And can I support that?
Hold on, Julian. Go ahead, Julian.
So I would certainly support that in my specialty. And in fact, three in a thousand consultants have opted out of weekend working. Bring those three guys back, it's not going to transform the weekend. There are consultants around at the weekend. We work weekends. I've only got this weekend off because I've been on lights all week.
Edwina Curry joining us now, former health minister herself. Hello, Edwina.
Hello there.
So we hear the doctors warning us of the implications of this policy if it's to be implemented.
Well, it's not a happy situation at the moment, particularly at weekends. Monitor, the government body that appointed to have a good look at what's actually going on, has said that patient safety is compromised in many hospitals. And as one of those pensioners that Philip Blom was talking about, I have to tell you that, you know, you really worry if you have to go into A&E, if you have to dial 999 and get an ambulance, if you're an elderly person and it's the weekend. Something's got to be done. Something has got to be done.
Can I take this point?
Well, no, may I just continue? Because I've been listening to this right since 10 o'clock and steam is coming out of my ears. At the moment, the basic salary, starting salary is about £22,000-£23,000, but the average that the junior doctors are earning is 37. In fact, I've seen a figure of over £40,000 and some are on 70,000. What that tells anybody listening to this is they're doing a lot of overtime. Now, that's crazy. That's not the way you should design the system. What the government wants to do is widen the core hours to include Saturday. Not Sunday, but Saturday. So we're not really talking even about seven-day working, and I think we should be. And it's going to raise the basic salary. That is certainly going to cut the top people's pay. Of course it is. But it means that most of them will be better paid. What on earth they were doing? Going out on a march today and threatening to go on strike, I don't know. That strikes fear into the heart of all their patients, and good doctors should not even be thinking of it.
But, Edwina, I've just said the government isn't going to necessarily need to pay any extra more to have us in more at weekends. And we have consultants and we have junior doctors in at weekends already.
But all your argument has been from your personal experience, and I'm sure the hospital you work in, which you haven't named, is absolutely brilliant. I have to tell you that all over the country that isn't true.
But I've worked in many hospitals.
And all your experience is perfect. Of course it is. It's not true around the country. And in fact, what we really need to do is we need to invite the doctors, you, to work together with us to make sure that we have a seven-day service that we can afford. I mean, at the moment, it's not just the A&E service, with the greatest respect. It's all the other services. There are MRI scanners that should be in use and that aren't. There are X-ray departments that should be in use and are only running at half cock. There are pharmacy departments, physiotherapy, all the rest of it. A lot of these are not in use at the weekend. And what it means is if you're in work, you've got to take time off from work to go during the week. And if you are a pensioner and you are not well at the weekend, it's a matter of great fear. The junior doctors who are going on strike for more money should be ashamed of themselves.
Let me bring in Sean in Uxbridge. Hello, Sean.
Hello, how are you?
You're a consultant, Sean. No doubt you would want to react to what Edwina Curry just said.
Yeah, look, I think Edwina Curry is quite right. She says that, you know, we need to make sure that everybody gets together so that we have a good understanding of it. And clearly, I know that she's actually held a very, very high position in government. But she clearly doesn't understand. I've worked for 20 years in the National Health Service. And she rightly points out that actually the junior doctors and the consultants are actually in it again. But a lot of the support services are not. And she also says that you need to right-size the practice so that they can afford it. Well, actually, the government can't actually afford a health service at the moment, 7 days a week.
Can I come in here? That's
not true. When I was in the Department of Health, we had a budget of something over £30 billion a year, and that was the first time in the mid-1980s that the health budget exceeded the defence budget, the first time ever in this country's history. Now the NHS budget is heading for £120 billion. It's an awful lot of money. We employ an awful lot more people, and we look after 1 million patients every 36 hours. All we need to ensure is if those 36 hours are at the weekend, that the death rate is no higher and the cost is no higher than during the week. It is not rocket science, and it doesn't require doctors to be going on strike.
The fact that we're spending more means that we care more about health than war, though, which is quite right in today's world. I don't understand your argument for the budget. Of course, we should be spending more on health than on the defence budget. That's like a moot point.
But just to come in here, we know from the Morecambe Bay scandal, for instance, the lack of consultant cover was cited as in the deaths of all those babies as one of the more consequent factors. We know from around the country that levels of care do vary at the weekends. This isn't a matter, this isn't subjective, this is demonstrable, and we know that hospitals that want to move to seven-day care say one of the things stopping them is the staffing rotas. But all of these are symptoms. This is not the cause, and what I find really depressing about this dispute is that it's not really about what it should be about. What it should be about is, given the changes in demography, given the rise of old age, the increase in lifespan, the rise of diabetes, obesity, cancer, depression, our service is completely ill-designed to cope at every single level and every single stage, including staffing and systems. And this is why we're in crisis. And the crisis that the doctors are responding to isn't a crisis of pay. It's a crisis of misdesign. And the government, to give them credit, is trying to redesign the service. What we're not getting from doctors is an equal, I think, recognition and participation in that. And I, as I've said at the beginning, I think doctors should be paid more.
How much Dr. Ben Post? We talk here about the salary for a junior doctor, the average salary around £37,000.
Yes, yeah.
What is the end salary for a doctor? So that's where they're starting off. Where do they end up?
It depends on what specialty whether you stay in hospital medicine or whether you go into general practice. General practice, I'm less au fait with, so I can't really comment. My understanding at the moment is that the starting consultant salary in the NHS for a hospital doctor is $74,000. Bearing in mind, that's generally after 15 years of training, approximately, to get there for most people. Can I just point out, though, the fact that you think that we cannot, that we have a, an ill-designed system, is a complete fallacy. The Commonwealth Fund report from 2012 and 2014 put NHS at number one in some of the richest countries in the world in efficiency and a number of other variables. The American healthcare system, I'm from America originally, I trained over here, I would never go back to that system. It costs twice as much as our system.
Well,
it's significantly worse outcomes.
If we're swapping academic articles, an OECD article from 2013 put Britain 15th out of 17th for deaths by non-communicable diseases. We actually don't have a very good system for dealing with the chronic, and it's peculiar, you would argue, that we do. If you go into our hospitals, we have about 30% of people taking up hospital beds who shouldn't be in hospitals. We have a situation where 70%
of
NHS
beds... That's more complicated than staffing of doctors.
Sorry?
That's far more complicated than the staffing. That involves the social care system
as
well.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to argue. What I'm trying to tell you is the real cause of our present discontent is not being is not being addressed by the BMA, and it's not being addressed by the doctors, and that is what we need you on board with. We need to recognise that our service, our acute service, which swallows all the money and all the resources and has all manner of dysfunction within it, is not designed for the problems we face that are largely chronic, ongoing, and functions of older age and functions of...
Yeah, but hang on a minute.
I agree. So yeah, you agree that we need more money for the system, right?
Okay, Curry.
Yeah, hang on a minute. I don't think, Philip, that it's appropriate to make that separation. It used to be, but I don't think it is anymore. I'm in my 70th year. If I have a heart attack, I'm just having a heart attack. You know, I hope it doesn't happen. If I'm 80, I'm going to have a heart attack. It's not because I'm 80. A lady of 112 has just had a hip operation, and she's doing very well with it. The idea that you can divide the world up into older people with chronic conditions and younger people with active conditions, that doesn't work like that anymore. And bear in mind that older people are taxpayers, and they expect a good service. The moment anybody arrives in the hospital, you can guarantee you've got a patient who is ill, but is frightened and needs good care, and really doesn't want to feel that that doctor's just waiting to go off on a march today and couldn't care less about the patient. Any concerned about how much money
we are going to have to leave it there, I'm afraid, because we're out of time. But thank you to you all. Really interesting discussion tonight. Maybe you work in the health service yourself. I can see some other doctors calling us tonight. There's a consultant cardiologist phoning us from London this evening, 0500 909 693. We'll pause there and get the news. It's 10:32.
On digital, online, smartphone and tablet, this is BBC Five Live.